This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. With us to begin our week is Dr. Lori Martin. She is professor of sociology, professor of African and African American studies at Louisiana State University. And much has happened, as we noted in the open. 5 weeks ago, George Floyd was killed, and the world has changed by virtue of a black man being murdered in open view by a police officer who had his knee on Floyd's neck for almost 9 minutes. And much has happened. The country is in turmoil. Maybe this is a conversation that's long overdue. Dr. Martin, what do you think?
I think you're precisely right about it being a conversation that's long overdue. I mean, we have many examples of unarmed black men and women who've been killed at the hand of white officers and, in some cases, ordinary white citizens, and their families have simply not received justice. The black community has not received justice. And so seeing the will to bring about change after the killing of George Floyd is not just refreshing, but it's very powerful. And I think part of the reason that people have responded so positively to this current wave of attention towards the value of black lives is because, you know, we were able to witness this, and it was so callous and just so hard, you know, to fathom how someone could, for 9 minutes, you know, keep their knee on someone's neck as they pleaded for their lives. And so whereas in previous cases, you know, people could say, well, maybe the individual shouldn't have been where they were, maybe they should have complied, and you didn't have those types of questions in this particular issue. And so I think that was, you know, the defining point for many people and why they decided to, in their own way, try to do something to create a more equitable society.
877-217-5757 is your number. Talk@talklouisiana.org is our email address. Dr. Martin was born and raised in Nyack, New York, about 20 miles from the big city, holds degrees from Fordham and the University of Buffalo, and a PhD from Albany State University. So she is a New Yorker. And my guess is that when you were growing up in the Empire State, you were not immune to any kind of racial discrimination. I bet you faced some there as well.
Sure. And as I was saying earlier, you know, racism isn't something that only happens in the Deep South. Racism is an American problem. It's been a longstanding problem. Like I like to share with my students in the Intro to Sociology or in some of the other courses, when we look at things like racial residential segregation, we might find that people of different racial groups are more likely to be segregated in places in the North than they are in the South. So it's really a false statement to say that racism only occurs in places like Louisiana and Texas. Is a problem that's part of the American fabric.
Well, at LSU, the Middleton Library had a name change last week. There is no new name, but Troy Middleton is gone. He was a segregationist who plotted to keep the LSU athletic teams all white in 1961, when, of course, the entire South at the so-called white schools had all white teams. Today, you're at a university. You've been at LSU 7 years. The football team, the national champion, 15-0 Tigers, 85% African-American. And the fans are well over 85% white. The coaches, mostly white. Is there something wrong with that optic?
Absolutely. There's something wrong with that, not just at LSU, not just throughout the SEC, but throughout American sports. And there are a number of scholars who have written about that. I gave a TED Talk not too long ago where I addressed this very issue, and putting it in historical context, many people are surprised to know that there were even slave jockeys. So we think about slavery and we think about plantations and we think about horse racing in places like Louisiana, but we don't necessarily think about how people who were held in physical bondage were also forced to be athletes. Mm-hmm. And so you have people like Abe Hawkins, who was enslaved on the Ashland Plantation, which was owned by Duncan Kenner. Speaking of cities and names and places, right. Kenner had a very important role in trying to keep the Confederacy alive towards the end of, you know, its final days, wanting to go to Europe to try and get finances to keep it going. So the history of race in sports is long-lasting, and so it's not surprising that we find racial differences and racial inequality and racial disparities in contemporary times, even at a place like LSU. I will say, though, that I do know that being the faculty athletics representative for LSU, that the athletics department has already established an athletics leadership council on diversity and inclusion, which I am on. And so they've really been meeting regularly and thinking about concrete ways that they can make the athletics department a more equitable place.
Very good. And, of course, the number two person in the department is Virg Osberry.
Yes.
Who is a good man, and he noted that his parents couldn't have attended LSU and that he had great aversion to coming himself because of that, but he has done well, and LSU has benefited from his expertise. You talked about Kenner. Dozens of protesters marched through Port Allen yesterday, waving signs chanting, "Take Henry down." It's about Henry Watkins Allen. I think that's the Allen the town was named after, Port Allen, the 17th Louisiana governor, who was a Confederate governor and a military general. Should we change all these names?
I think it's an important step towards putting some real meaning behind a lot of the sentiments that we've heard. So symbols are really important. You know, they represent shared meanings and what we say we value. And there has been a gap between what we say we value and who we say we value and what we actually do. I was talking to my cousin. She was the first black woman to graduate from the University of Mississippi Law School. Her name is Constance Slaughter Harvey. And we were talking about the changing of the flag in Mississippi. And she was mentioning that she had been trying to get not only the Confederate statue on the campus removed, but also the flag changed for 50 years. And so, I mean, these are battles that people have been fighting a very long time. And so it's good to see that there's some movement on that area. I'll also say, too, that the well-known American writer Toni Morrison, you know, also pointed to the fact that you don't have comparable monuments to the experiences of members of the population that was enslaved. So she commented that there's no 300-foot monument, you know, to remember the experiences of people of African ancestry. Thankfully, the society that was created in her honor actually developed what's called the Toni Morrison Bench Project to serve as an outdoor memorial to the experiences of people of African descent. And actually, Baton Rouge is one of very few locations to have a bench, and that bench is in dedication to the people involved in the 1953 bus boycott.
Very good. Lori Martin with us. The number is 877-217-5757 if you would like to join the conversation. The Mississippi flag is coming down. The state Senate voted 31-14 to do so. It is a Confederate flag, even though only a quarter of it has the real Confederate flag. The other is also symbolic of the Confederate era. And it stood for 126 years, that flag has. The main parkway in Jackson, Mississippi, is the Woodrow Wilson Parkway that the president celebrated because he was a supporter of segregation, the 28th American president. Also, when you look at Mississippi, a few years ago, shortly before he died, I went to see one of my mentors, Dale Thorne, who was living in Brandon, Mississippi. We went to a steakhouse. We went in, nice place. Life-size oil painting of Ross Barnett, the governor of Mississippi, who tried to keep the Magnolia State all white. There is still a pushback here by many citizens who like things the way they were and want to keep them that way forever. How do you deal with that, Dr. Martin?
So I think that what you have to do is to work with the people that are willing to you know, consider change. So there are those individuals who said, you know, I didn't get it before, but I get it now. And that's happening at a lot of different levels. So people are having conversations across racial groups that were not happening before. And then there are going to be those who, no matter what you say or what data you provide for them or no matter what, you know, video you show of some atrocity, that they're always going kind of fall back on, you know, their perception of what America is and how to make it great. And so for those folks, you can just leave them to, you know, their own thoughts and try to work on those folks that are committed to change.
And a listener notes that the Mississippi Senate, which voted 31-14 to pull down that flag forevermore, is 36 white Republicans and 16 black Democrats. So it is a body dominated by conservatives, and yet they, in their wisdom, have chosen to do so, although 14 wanted to keep it the way it is. Today in the New York Times, Charles Blow, the columnist from Grambling State University, writes, yes, even George Washington, he says, enslavers were amoral monsters. Some people who are opposed to taking down monuments asked, if we start, where will we stop? It might begin with Confederate generals, but all slave owners could become targets, even George Washington himself. And Blow says, to that I say, abso-fricking-lutely. 877-217-5757. We'll go to the phone lines with Dr. Lori Martin of LSU when we return with more Talk Louisiana after this 90-second pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased you're with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. Matt Doyle producing, and a bit more time with Lori Martin, LSU professor of sociology who specializes in African American studies. Native of New York, who's been at the old war school for 7 years. 877-217-5757. Ray in Prairieville. Hi, Ray. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking the call, Jim. I'd like to thank Dr. Martin for mentioning that segregation is not just a Southern thing. I came from a suburb of the Michigan suburb of Detroit and actually worked on 8 Mile, and south of 8 Mile was predominantly black, and north was predominantly white. So we had those kind of things, and job problems, lack of opportunity for blacks in upper positions. And so, yes, it's not just a Southern problem.
Yeah, and thank you for that comment. I was just, you know, scrolling through my Facebook timeline today, and my former professor, Mark Nason at Fordham University, commented on the removal of the Confederate flag from the Mississippi flag, and then he commented something about, well, now what are we going to do about all the people in various counties in New York that are waving the Confederate flag? And so it's not just, you're not just going to see them in Louisiana on the back of people's trucks or as opposed to their license plate. It's everywhere.
Ron in Opelousas. Hello, Ron. You're on the air with Professor Martin. Hi, Ron.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Yes, my comment on is something that you brought up, Ms. Deese, that it's very important. You noted that the majority of the representatives in Mississippi voted for the removal of these statues, along with, I think you stated, 16 blacks, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. So to me, that shows progress in America, because America really has never made any progress when it was just one-sided. It became a black-white issue. But whenever you have good, decent people from all nationalities and race, there is good progress. And I think the climate right now is signaling that the people of America, the good ones, want to come together and correct some problems of the past, and do it slowly and decently, because both sides have issues, and we can make good progress that way. So that's my statement, is to emphasize on there are good people of all races.
All right. Thank you. Very good points from Ron. And in Mississippi, if you do the math, the vote was 16-0 to get rid of that Confederate flag, which is the state flag, among blacks, and 15-14 among whites. And 15-14 is much too uncomfortable for some of us, but that's the way it is. But at least there is progress, because you can bet 10 years ago the vote would have been 36-16.
Well, another thing we want to keep in mind that without a doubt, there are certainly some people who have probably had a change of heart who may in the past have voted against it. But we also, too, want to note that there was also some incentive in that you had groups like the SEC and others to say that they would not allow championships and other people threatening to boycott and players at big-time programs saying that they wouldn't play if it was still there. So it's not always, always a change of heart.
Sometimes. That's what the bus boycott was all about. And another listener correctly notes that only 45 senators voted, and there are 52 senators in the body, so that means 7 abstained. Now, how can you abstain from a vote like that? You talk about, well, anyway. President Trump tweeted approvingly of a video showing one of his supporters chanting white power, obviously a racist slogan associated with white supremacists. He later deleted the tweet, and the White House said the president had not heard the one statement on the video, but do you take him at his word, or just an honest mistake, or is the president fomenting these divisions in our land?
Well, I think that there are very few things that happens in the current administration that are not well orchestrated, and I think that the president has a keen understanding about how deep the racial divide is in the country, and that he knows that there's a certain group that supports him and another group that will never support him, and so he plays to his base better than most.
Trish in Grand Coteau. Trish, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning. I have sort of a different perspective on what goes on in the South because I moved here from California 20 years ago, and I'm 69, so I have seen a lot of modern history, unfortunately, repeat itself. But I wanted to ask your guest if, having grown up and gone to school in New York, whether she had studied how history is taught in the South or whether it was an eye-opener, as it was to me, how differently the history of the Civil War is taught in the South than it is in other parts of the country.
So I think we have a problem in the public educational system in general. And thinking about going to remote learning, for example, and working with my son who just finished fourth grade on the American Revolution, I had to give him, you know, I had to supplement that information. There was this narrative about the Patriots and how they were, you know, good people and how they just wanted their freedom, but no discussion about how many of them were enslaving people or about how they were, you know, saying that they didn't want themselves to be treated as slaves. And so there's a problem throughout the curriculum in America that doesn't, you know, really tell the true story of American history. And so that's why it's vitally important that we incorporate African and African-American studies and women's studies as core courses well before individuals get to college.
877-217-5757 in our remaining time with Dr. Lori Martin of LSU, Jacoby in Lafayette. Jacoby, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, I think you guys are giving the state legislatures in Mississippi far too much credit. The only reason they moved on this was proposed sanctions or moving sanctions from the SEC and the NCAA towards them continuing to use the Confederate symbols in their flags. I think they didn't do this out of the goodness of their hearts or that they decided, well, we need to make this change. They did it because of football and the money associated with football. So
you may be very, very well be right, Jacoby. I don't quarrel with you. I think you probably are right. But even in that realm, it's still a good decision, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a good decision. But I don't think should be giving them credit for doing something that was basically in their own self interest. That, you know, if they started losing football championship games, the money and the protests that would have happened over there in the state, this would have been phenomenal. They basically had to choose between people that wanted to keep the flag of the Confederacy in there or people that love football.
All right. Of course, the two Mississippi schools don't play for championships that often. The Supreme Court has announced a major ruling on abortion, deciding that the Louisiana law should not stand. The opinion written by Justice Stephen Breyer, joined by Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan, as well as Chief Justice John Roberts, ruled that June Medical Services versus Russo was a challenge to a Louisiana law that required abortion privileges, admitting privileges with a nearby hospital. They ruled that this is unacceptable. Abortion providers argued this was an unnecessary requirement unrelated to health outcomes that only served to prevent them from being able to provide abortions. So another defeat for the Trump administration from the highest court in the land. And once again, it's John Roberts, the Chief Justice, who joined the four Democratic nominees and appointees, Ginsburg, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Breyer. So that means four voted the other way, and last week we had Katrina Jackson, the state lawmaker who sponsored the bill, a Democrat, and it, mind you, it was signed into law by another Democrat, John Bel Edwards. So a major decision from the high court, and Louisiana's law is considered and ruled invalid. So the admitting privileges will not be necessary for doctors in this state, and of course that applies to other states across the country by virtue of the high court decision today. We'll talk about a few matters more with Dr. Lori Martin when we return, and we'll also hear from Jan Moeller. Now the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Dr. Lori Martin, LSU sociologist and professor of African American Studies. In the first case, since the Trump appointees joined the court regarding abortion, today the high court struck down Louisiana's law that would have left the state with a single clinic. The vote was 5-4, John Roberts joining the four Democratic appointees. And this law was actually enacted in 2014, so I missed it last segment when I said it was signed by John Bel Edwards, who has signed, of course, some anti-abortion legislation, but this one was signed by Governor Bobby Jindal. The sponsor was Katrina Jackson, then a state rep, now a state senator. 877-217-5757. Earlier, Judge John D. Gravel of Federal District Court in Baton Rouge had struck down the law in 2017, saying it created an undue burden on women's constitutional rights to abortion. This wasn't what you came here to talk about, but it does have political implications and shows the division in our country, Dr. Martin, a 5-4 vote from the high court, and John Roberts, who was went straight to the court as the Chief Justice, a Bush appointee, is certainly disappointing a lot of conservatives who backed him.
Yeah, so I think it points to the significance of voting. We hear a lot of about that and about concerns about voter suppression, but it really is important about who is in the positions to nominate judges, not only to the U.S. Supreme Court, but at every level of government. And so while we're not always pleased with the names that we see when we walk into the voting booth, it is important at least to be part of the process so that you can protect the health, especially of the most vulnerable among us.
Muhammad Ali was cleared 29 years ago by the U.S. Supreme Court of the charge of refusing induction into the Army. It enabled him to fight on, and that he did. And, of course, he was a three-time heavyweight champ, the greatest of all. Interestingly, that vote was 8-0. Justice Thurgood Marshall, the only black member of the court, abstained after sending an unusual note to the press room saying he could not take part in the case because he had been Solicitor General during the time that Ali was being prosecuted. David in Atlanta, you're on the air with Dr. Lori Martin. David, you have the floor.
Good morning. You know, when the war was going badly for the Confederacy, slaves were marched into Texas so the Confederates would protect their property. More than 1,000 likely died in that march, which is identical to the Bataan Death March in World War II. The Japanese officials responsible for the Bataan Death March were executed after the war. And could you imagine if Japan would have a statue to Hideki Tojo, who attacked Pearl Harbor as the Confederates attacked Fort Sumter?
All right. Well, David makes a point that I think most people are agreeing with. These Confederate icons are going to go, and be gone, gone, gone. But what about the presidents and others who also condoned slavery? And even at one time, the U.S. Supreme Court did. Do we remove them from the public square as well?
Well, what I think is becoming clear is just how embedded race is in our society. And soon, you know, people are going to look around and see that there's nothing left standing. And that should be a call to everyone to not only to focus on removing these symbols and changing street names in schools, but also changing the ways in which institutions operate so that they are more just and inclusive places.
Michael in Shenandoah. Michael, you're on the air with Dr. Martin. Please turn your radio.
I agree. Yes, sir. I agree with the last two callers. About one was about Mississippi State flag. They wouldn't have changed unless there's a money deal with that. Their heart's not in the right place. And the last caller hit it right on point. Would you want that the Japanese thing in Hawaii where they blew all that worshiping them?
Well, some people are bringing up things that I'm sure will be discussed, and this has opened up a discussion, I think, as we conclude or as we opened with, is long overdue. Bianca London writes, Dr. Martin, how would you respond or how do you respond to those who believe that desegregation has not done enough to improve the educational and career opportunities for African Americans?
Well, I would say that there's a lot of evidence to suggest that that is an accurate statement. If we look at many schools today, we can see that some are as segregated as they were prior or after the Brown decision, and that there are a lot of other disparities that happen within the school system. You have an overrepresentation of black and brown boys in particular among those who receive discipline or are involved in what some scholars call the school-to-prison pipeline. And so there's a lot that needs to be done to fix the public school system as it relates especially to black and brown children.
Elwin in Eden Park. Elwin, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Fine.
Good morning, Dr. Barton.
Good morning.
My reason for calling in, I learned just recently that there was a lady back in the day in Eden Park integrated the courtroom here in Baton Rouge, and it was a Supreme Court decision. And I learned that you were able to help get a marker for the McKinley Alumni Association. And I was wondering if you might help to get a marker in Eden Park.
So actually, I've been trying to work with the Images of America series to do a book on Eden Park, but I think they believe that the area is too small or they don't really understand the historical significance of it and are kind of dragging their feet on a contract. So if it doesn't happen with Images of America, I'll try to make it happen with some other willing publisher. But you can feel free to reach out to me. My information is available on the LSU website, and I'll certainly try to provide as much support as I can.
Well, Dr. Martin, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to a return visit very soon.
Thank you
for your insights. Sure,
thank
appreciate
you.
It, and best of luck. And we'll keep on keeping on.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So the times are changing, and in a good way.